Several weeks ago, we began to lean into hearing God's word, right? Hearing his voice, finding our own whisper spot, the place where we can hear from God. And throughout scripture, we find people who have a spot where God speaks to them. And I've said it, and I want you to understand it, that I'm not saying that God can only speak to you in one place. I'm not saying that he can only speak to you here in the church. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I want you to understand that there are places in your life where God will speak to you that sometimes he won't speak anywhere else. There are a couple places in my life where that I can go to, and I don't know if it's an expectation. It probably is some of that. Just I know that God speaks to me there. He's spoken to me there many times, and I know that when I go there, God speaks. Some of it is just getting alone with God. Some of it is where we are allowing our mind to go. And he's not set to speak in one place, though. I mean, we see him. He speaks out of a burning bush, a threshing floor, the belly of a whale. He's not limited. And as we lean into hearing God's voice, I want you to be looking and listening, and not only hearing his voice, but listening to what he's saying. There's a difference. Anyone with ears can hear, right? But we have to listen. We must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying. Can we listen and hear it this morning? Yeah? Okay. Y'all all got ears, so I know you can hear, but can you listen? Yeah? This morning we're going to look at another whisper spot in 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to look at Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli." Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. But one night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. And suddenly, the Lord called out to Samuel. "Yes," Samuel replied, "what is it?" And he got up and he ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I did not call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. And then the Lord called out again, "Samuel." And again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." And I'm sure it was a little bit more like, "Quit waking me up." Samuel did not yet know the Lord, because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli, and, "Here I am, did you call me?" And then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again, and if someone calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord came and called again, as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, your servant is listening." And then the Lord said to Samuel, "I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifice or offerings." Samuel stayed in bed until morning, and then he got up and opened the door of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called to him, "And Samuel, my son, here I am," Samuel replied. "What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me." So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. "It's the Lord's will," Eli replied. "Let him do what he thinks best." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. In all Israel, from Dan to the north of Beersheba, in the south near the knew that Samuel was confirmed as prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. My prayer has been, since we started this and since the beginning of the year, that we would become like Samuel. In fact, I said it the first Sunday of this year that my prayer was that we would be like Samuel, like he was in verse 9 when he said, when he goes and lies back down in verse 10, and he says, the Lord called to him as before, and he said, "Here I am, your servant is listening, speak." And the Lord said, "I was going to do something shocking in Israel." My desire hasn't changed. My desire is that we are able to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, and actually listen to his voice. Everyone can hear, but not very many people actually listen. When I want my kids to really listen to me, I make them look at me. Because if they're looking anywhere else, they're not listening. I say the same thing to my wife. Are you listening to me? I need you to look at me because I need to know that you are hearing, not just hearing, but listening to what I'm saying to you. Because there's a difference in hearing and listening. And I have one child that she hears a lot, but she doesn't listen. And you tell her something, she'll go off and start to the direction, and you think, okay, she heard me. She listened. She turns around and comes back and says, what did you tell me to do? Are you listening to the Lord's voice? The key to what Samuel said was, your servant is listening. He wasn't just about hearing. He was listening for what God had. And the past several weeks, I've been telling you that we are going to receive an offering for the building. And some of you have been giving towards the debt of the building, and I thank you for that. But as we were getting ready for today, I told you I wanted you to pray about what the Lord would have you to do. And I asked you to listen to his voice. I always tell you that I'm not going to ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do. And this morning is no different. I'm planning to give in this offering. But as I was praying about what the Lord would have me to talk to you about, I felt like that I needed to share with you something that has been happening. In October of last year, the Lord began to deal with me about something. I didn't really like what he was dealing with me about. And I wasn't really sure about what he exactly wanted me to do. And so I began to pray about it. And For the longest time, I didn't even talk to Chelsea about it. I was just praying, what are you telling me, God? In December, it became pretty clear what he was asking me to do. And I shared with Chelsea, and then I shared with the board what I felt like the Lord was telling me to do. And so at the beginning of this year, I started foregoing my salary. So starting in January, my salary has been going towards the debt of the building. We've made double payments every month this year. We've been talking about leaning in and listening to the voice of God and hearing his whisper. And I can't ask you to be obedient if I'm not being obedient. And when he speaks, and when I talk to you about being obedient when he speaks, I'm not preaching about something that I'm not willing to do. And so when I shared with the board about what I planned on doing, and they asked me what for how long, and I told them I don't know because God hasn't told me. I felt like in the last month that I've asked that question to God, for how long? I felt like that he said in December he would tell me. So I said, okay, well, we'll go. And I'm not telling you this because I want you to feel sorry for me. I'm not telling you this because I'm trying to get pity or anything like that. I'm not telling you this because I need something. I'm telling you this because I was being obedient to God and I felt like you needed to know. God has taken care of us. He's blessed us. I've not missed a meal. We're good. And he's going to continue to take care of us because we're being obedient to what he's asking us to do. And so when I asked you to pray and not let this be a token offering, I meant it. Because I've not been a token. I've not given a token to what's going on in this thing. I believe that God is going to pay the building off by the end of the year. I'm believing that without a doubt. Because he said he would do it. But in order for him to do that, people have to be obedient. People have to be obedient. And so I'm asking you this morning, as the ushers come, I'm asking you to just be obedient to what he asks you to do. If it hurts, it hurts. But he'll take care of it because he never asks for anything that he doesn't have a harvest in mind. Lord, I pray that you bless these people. Lord, this is above our tithe. This is more, and this is above, and this is more than what you ask. And God, I pray that you help us to be obedient. Lord, I pray that they truly have prayed and ask you and ask to hear your voice and what you would have on them to do. And Lord, I pray that they're obedient to what you told them to do, because I believe with obedience comes harvest. And Lord, I pray that you bless them over and above. Open the floodgates, God. Fill their barns to overflowing. In your name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you as you're obedient to the Lord. It was in Shiloh that the Lord began to speak to Samuel. It was in Shiloh that Samuel made a decision to listen to the Lord. It was in Shiloh that he said, "Okay, God, whatever you say, I'll do it. Whatever you say." It was in Shiloh that the Lord continued to speak to him. And in 1 Samuel 3:21, it says the Lord continued to appear to Shiloh and to Samuel at Shiloh and gave messages to him there at the tabernacle. It was in Shiloh that he continued to speak to him. It was the place that he could hear from God. It was that place that I talked about earlier, that I know that when I go there, God is going to speak to me, because he has time and time again. It was the place where Samuel would go back to in his mind and say, "God, I know that you spoke to me then. I know that you can speak to me now." It was there that he would begin to prepare him for his life that would involve leading Israel into monarch, despite Samuel's warning against it. The Lord had Samuel to anoint Saul and then David as king. And if you read about Samuel's life, you find that he did hard things. He was obedient to the Lord in all that he did. He sought out what was right. He warned the people what would happen if they did wrong, and if they stopped serving the Lord, and if they began to worship idols. He spoke to them, and he gets up to and he stands before the people, and he says, "Have I ever stolen from you? Have I ever done anything wrong? Have I ever cheated you?" And there was a resounding no. And he said, "I've been obedient to what the Lord has asked me to do." And then he tells them, if you don't serve the Lord, if you walk away from the Lord, if you begin to serve idols, this is what's going to happen. And it came to pass just as he said. You know, a lot of times we want the good, not the bad, right? We like Matthew 6:33. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and we'll give you everything you need." We like that. We don't necessarily like 33A, but we really like 33B when it says he will give you everything you need. That's what we like. Oh, we like, he's going to give me everything that I need. That's good. I'm happy. I mean, whatever it takes, he's going to give it to me. But we missed the first part, Mason. The first part says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously." That's the part that we miss. We want God to do it, bless us. We want God to show up. We want God to do everything, but we don't want to live right. We want the good without the bad. We want the miracles without being in the place that we need a miracle. But in this verse, Jesus revealed a supernatural sequence. He said, "Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Sometimes, though, we get it twisted. And we think that it actually reads backwards. Get everything that we want, and then we'll live righteous. We want everything that the world has to offer, and then we'll seek God. We go out and we do everything that we want to do, and then we'll seek God. We go out and we serve the world, and then we seek God. And we think we got to get clean before we come to church. People think, "Well, I can't go to church because I'm not right." Well, yeah, nobody was when they started. Nobody was right, got right, and then turned to God. That, what would be the point of that? If we could get ourselves right without leaning on God and trusting God, then what's the point? What's the point? We have to make a decision. And sometimes he'll get our attention. Right, Edgar? Sometimes he'll get our attention. And what did you tell me the other night? That you are happier since you started in church and serving God. There's something about it that gives us joy, that gives us peace, because he's the peace giver. He's the joy giver. It's not about what we want. It's about what he wants. And when we're seeking God first, it means we're delighting ourselves in the Lord. When we're seeking God first, it's about giving him the first word and the last word. When we're seeking God first, it's making sure his voice is the loudest voice in our life. If you're not hearing from the Lord, it's because he's not the loudest voice in your life. If we're seeking God first, it's about being obedient when it's not comfortable. There are times, and there are going to be times, that he is going to ask you to do things that are uncomfortable. And it's up to you whether or not you are going to do it or not. And I can tell you that if you don't, he's going to make it a lot more uncomfortable for you. Seeking God first is listening and not just hearing his voice. Seeking God first is making time to come to church when it's inconvenient, when it's more convenient to do something else. It's making time to come to prayer meetings. We have prayer every Tuesday at 6:30, or at 6 o'clock, and every Thursday morning at 5 a.m., we're here. We're praying. We're believing God for doing something. And as we're praying and we're believing, and God is doing things, things that we've been praying about in our prayer meetings are happening. Well, I can't come at 6 o'clock. I don't get off work until, well, that's why we did it at 5 o'clock too. So that you can come and pray before you go to work. And there are people that have been doing that. Gail drives the bus up here, comes in and prays, and then gets on the bus and goes picks up them children. I think it's a little bit of two things. She's praying and believing God to do something, but she's also praying that she doesn't kill little children. I've seen Sam here at 5 o'clock in the morning before she goes to work. I've seen others that are here in the mornings. Zach is here before he goes to work and puts in all day. There have been others. Brandy has been here at 5 o'clock. We got more teenagers coming at 5 o'clock than I got coming at 6 o'clock. And we absolutely have more teenagers and kids coming to prayer meeting than we got adults coming. And that's sad. I didn't come here to beat you up. I did come to make you feel a little guilty, though. Seeking God is about doing things to serve him that's inconvenient. It's making time for him. See, we make time for what's important to us. We make time for what's important. I don't have time to go to church, but you got time to do other things. I don't got time to go to church, but you got time to watch TV. I don't got time to go to church, but you got time to go to the ball games. I don't have time to go to church, but I got time to do whatever else it is that I want to do. I got time to go fishing. We will make time for what's important to us. Is seeking God a priority in your life, or is it an afterthought? Are you listening for the Lord, or are you turning a deaf ear to him? I'm going to tell you about something that's going to be a little inconvenient. Tonight, we're not having church here. We're not having church here because Salem is in revival, and every revival we've had for the last 2 years, they've come and supported on Sunday nights and through the week. So tonight, I told him that we would come over there and support him. Now, that's going to be a little bit inconvenient for some of you, but I encourage you to go to Salem First Assembly on Pinto Street. I think that's the name of the street. Pinto Street at 6 o'clock tonight instead of coming here. Tim Todd is in revival there. We've had him here before. I said we would come and support you. It's going to be a little inconvenient for some of you, but I believe that God is going to do something in that. Because when we put forth the effort, He puts forth the effort. Join us tonight over there. Be a part of something. Don't turn a deaf ear to God. Are you listening to the Lord? Or are you turning a deaf ear to Him? We can only speak what we are able to hear. We can only make the sounds that we can hear. We can't say things or emulate things that we can't hear. You can't make a sound that you've never heard. Some of y'all are thinking in your head, I bet I can make a sound that I've never heard before. Not with your mouth, you can't. We can't make sounds that we can't hear. And if we're not listening to God's voice, if we're not hearing His voice, then we can't emulate God. And there will come a time when you ignore God's voice, and you ignore God's voice, and He's asking you to do something, and you continue to ignore it, that it'll become silent. They're not going to listen to me anyways. I want to emulate God. I want to emulate what He wants us to emulate. I want to hear His voice. I want to speak what He speaks. His whisper literally speaks life into situations. Literally. His whisper speaks life. The definition of whisper is of a sound. Breathing, making the sound. And how did He start life? He breathed into Adam. He spoke it into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. Everything around you, He spoke into existence. His whisper brings life. He speaks life into situations and circumstances. He never asks you, He will never ask you to do anything that He doesn't have a harvest in mind. If He asks you to do something that hurt today, I could promise you that He has a harvest in mind. Last week, them rolling the stone at Lazarus' tomb away, was the harvest was Lazarus living again. The harvest wasn't them rolling the stone away. That was what had to be done. The harvest was Lazarus walking, hopping, crawling, slithering out of the tomb. Gideon being obedient led to the harvest of freedom from the Midianites. Abraham being obedient led to a harvest of descendants being as numerous as the stars in the sky. Moses being obedient led to the harvest of the children of Israel walking out of slavery in Egypt. Joshua being obedient led the harvest of the promised land. What harvest will your obedience lead to? What harvest will your obedience lead to? Will it be souls saved? Will it be prodigals coming home? Will it be promises being fulfilled? Will it be healings taking place? Will it be miracles being performed? Will it be rapid debt reduction? What will your obedience put to flight? What will your obedience, what will the harvest be? He never asks us to do anything that He doesn't have a harvest in mind. I don't know what the harvest is. But I know that He asked a big ask. And I'm being obedient. And I'm believing for a big harvest. I'm asking everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you right now for what you're doing in this house. I thank you for moving in this place. I thank you for touching. I thank you for healing. I thank you for delivering. Lord, I thank you for what you did at the beginning of this service. Lord, I'm believing that we're going to hear testimonies of people that were healed at the beginning of this service, God. We're believing for that. Lord, I pray that you just begin to move and you begin to touch. You begin to deliver today, God. If there are people in this house that have not been listening, Lord, they've heard your voice, but they've not been listening to what you're telling them to do, Lord, I pray that today that they begin to obey. Lord, I pray that harvests begin to come because of our obedience. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you this morning. If you're in this house and you need God to move in your life, maybe you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, or you're not where you need to be with him, I encourage you to move right now. I want to pray with you. I encourage you to come to the front. I want to pray and believe with you. Maybe you're here, though, and God's been speaking to you, and he's been dealing with you, and you haven't been obedient for whatever reason. I encourage you to move. Maybe you just say, you know what, I want something. I've been obedient to some things, and I'm ready to see the harvest. I'm ready to see that harvest. I'm ready for God to show me that harvest. I want to invite you to come. Don't miss it this morning. Don't miss it. Have you been turning a deaf ear to God? Or have you been listening to him? I encourage you to move. I encourage you to move. Don't miss it. If you need God to move in your life, I encourage you right now to move out of your seat and come up here. Lord, I just thank you for the ones that responded. Lord, I'm believing. I'm believing for you that you're going to change, that you're going to change things in this place. Lord, we're ready to see the harvest. Some of us in this room have been obedient, God, and we're ready to see that harvest. If you feel led to come and pray around this front, feel free to do so.